Hello all, welcome to this session on state assessment and data validation using Ansible. My name is Ganesh Nalavadi and I am presenting in FOSDEM for a second consecutive year now. I work as principal software engineer at Ansible. I work mainly in the networking domain, and in my past jobs I worked extensively on network management plane and have developed software for on-box and off-box automation. The agenda for this talk is as below. So we'll first go through what are the use cases for operational state data, then how to generate structured data, validating structured data, a couple of remediation scenarios, validation of input data, and developer nodes for Ansible module plugin developments. So in a common state assessment workflow, we first retrieve the data. So this data is retrieved in a plain text format. And after that, it is converted into a normalized structured data. Then the next step is to validate. So in this step, we first define the desired state criteria in a standard-based format, and that can be used as across enterprise infrastructure teams. Then validate the current state data against a predefined criteria to identify if there is any deviation. And if there is any deviation, then comes the remediate step. So in that step, users can do the required configuration changes. Or they can report. It can send reports to the third-party tools for taking the required actions. So there are this slide depicts some of the examples for operational state data. So if you want to make conditional changes onto your remote host, in that case, for example, you want to make configuration changes only if all the BGP neighbors are healthy. Then a fleet assessment, health assessment, and inventory need to ensure if you need to ensure that all the NTP servers are in sync. Then post validation changes. So if I'm making some changes onto a remote host, after that I need to do a couple of validations, like for example, LLDP, OSPF neighbors are and its reachability has not changed. Then next stage is to generate custom reports using templates. So you can get the entire state of the device, operational state of the device, and then store it using templates. So this is how retrieving state data currently looks like within Ansible. So you get fetch, execute a command on the remote host, get the plain text response, and after that response you pass through a couple of plugins to generate a structured data out of it. And once that structured data is generated, user use assert task to check if the structured data and the that is retrieved and the desired state matches or not. So it takes 4 to 5 tasks, and it is not straightforward to achieve this. So in short, Ansible strength is configuration management, but it is not so good in operational state data. So in this talk, we'll see about how we have tried to fix this scenario. Recently we have released a collection called as Ansible Utils collection. Ansible is a namespace here, and Utils is the name of the collection. In that collection, we have a CLI pass module. So this module works with all the platforms, be it Linux, networks, or Windows. It supports many parser engines, and the single task is used to run the command, get the response, pass the response, and set as facts, and it returns structured data for the show command output. So this is how the CLI pass task look like. The command here is the command that is executed on the remote host. Then the parser name is the name of the parser engine that is being used. So we'll see what are all the parser engines in the next slide. So currently, this slide shows what are all the parser engines that are supported with the CLI pass module. So TextFSM is a semi-formatted parsing template. It is a Python module. And Ansible Utils TextFSM is a sub-plugin of CLI pass module. That is a Ansible sub-plugin. Then TTP is a template-based parsing, and it follows Jinja-style DSLs. Then the native parser engine is the parser engine that is part of NetCommon collection. It doesn't depend on any third-party libraries. Then there is NTC template. So it is a predefined text parser, and it is mainly used to work with network devices. Then PyTS is a Cisco test automation and validation solution. And then the XML parser engine is used to convert XML to JSON using the XML to dict library. We'll go through the demo for the CLI pass. So let's first see with the Ansible environment that I have. The version that I'm using is 2.10.4. And we'll see what are all the collections that are installed. For the sake of this demo, so I have ansible.net common collection installed, ansible.utils, and cisco.nxos. You can install these collections from Ansible Galaxy using the Ansible Galaxy command, Ansible Galaxy collection install, Ansible name of the collection. So since I already installed, I won't be running this. Then we'll go through the inventory that I have for this demo. So I have one CentOS host and one Cisco NXOS host. So this first playbook that I will run is on the CentOS host. The first task is to print the Ansible distribution that is being detected by the Ansible. Then the CLI pass module here will execute the ifconfig command, and it will use a TextFSM parser engine. Then it will print the output, and the second command, it will execute df-h, and it will use TTP just to demonstrate that you can use different parser engines. And the template by default that will be referred is in the current directory under templates folder. So the format to look for the template file is name of the distribution underscore name of the command followed by the parser engine. So if for the first task, this is a template that will be used to parse the plain text response. It will basically generate these keys, MTU, state, MAC. And for df-h, it will basically get the file system size, use case, and used available, so on, in a structured format. So just run this playbook and see what happens. Is gathering the facts from the remote host, like what is the version, the interfaces, memory, and all those details. So I think it is done. So after running the ifconfig task, the structured data that is being generated is seen here. So all the key, all these keys are defined in the TextFSM template. It follows the TextFSM style of writing templates here. Then the next task here is to run df-h, and it is using TTP template. So we'll move on to the next task. This is a plain text response that is being received, and it is stored in the stdout key. Then this is the output of the df-h command. Again, it is converted into a structured JSON format. So now we'll do this for a network device as well. In case of network device, we are using network CLI connection type, which is part of NetCommon collection. I will set the network OS value to cisco.nxos.nxos. And in the CLI pass module, we'll execute the show interface loopback command. It will basically return the operational state of the loopback interfaces, and the parser engine that I'm using is the PyTS parser engine, which under the hood uses the Cisco PyTS library, and then it stores the result into this variable, and then we print the parsed structured response. Let's run that command in this playbook. Since it is gathering facts, it is taking a bit more time. Yep. Now you can see the output of the past. The past output is being printed here. The loopback operational state key value pairs can be seen here. Just notice that the admin state for loopback 0 is an upstate, and loopback 1 is in downstate here. So moving on, we'll talk about validate. Validate again is a module in Ansible Utils collection. It uses the JSON schema validation engine. This single stars reads the structured data and then validate it with the data model schema. So we'll see in the coming slides how that is done. And if the validation failed, it will return a list of errors. And in case there is no errors, in cases where data matches the criteria for schema, it returns success. So this is how a sample validate task would look like. Data here is input data. This data is mainly the structured data that is being rendered or generated from the CLI pass module. Then criteria here is a list of criteria based on the engine that we are using. So since we'll be using the JSON schema validation, the criteria here is in JSON format. And this lookup plugin reads the content in text format, and the from JSON filter converts that text into a native Python dictionary. So as mentioned, the validation engine currently supported is JSON schema, and there are more validation engines support will be added in pipeline in future. Let's quickly go to a demo for validate module. So I'll be running the validate playbook here. The first two tasks remains the same, that is running the interface command, generating the structured data. So this will be we'll print the structured data, and then we'll pass the same structured data into validate as input of the data key, and then criteria is the criteria that we have defined, and we want the desired state operational state for our remote host. The engine is the name of the engine as discussed earlier. So we'll quickly see what the criteria is for this demo. It is an Excel show admin interface. Since we have the name of the interfaces as a key, we have defined a regex here that matches all the interfaces name, and the interfaces value should be of type dictionary, and it should contain an admin state key, and the value of that key should always be up. So this is a sample desired state of my device that is being defined. So when I run this playbook, it will basically load the criteria and then try to match it with the value in the data key. And suppose if there are errors, it will just return that in the results. So ignore error two, it will be tell Sensible that even in case the task fails, just continue running. So in the next task, I'm printing what are all the interfaces that do not satisfy the desired state. Let's run the playbook and see what happens. This again fetches the operational state from the remote device. This is a CLI pass. And in the validate, you can see that the loopback one admin state is not in the expected state. The expected state is up, but what we got from the device is down. That's why it is failing. And then it prints the exact interface that doesn't satisfy the desired configuration. So that means there is a drift in desired and the actual state. Now we'll move on to remediation. There are a couple of actions that can be taken in this step. So for the one is to change the configuration onto the remote host so that it is reflected into the operational state. Other is report this drift in the expected and the actual state to an external monitoring tool. And Ansible has a lot of modules to integrate it with third-party tools. We'll just go through the remediate step here. So till here, the task name is the same. It prints the name of the interfaces. Now I want to ensure that I change the state of the interface such that it is in up state. For that, I am using this configuration module. The name of the module is cisco.nxservice.nxservice interfaces. And the key value pair is telling is indirectly tells the device to go and change the loopback one state interface state to up. So enable true will be set for that particular interface, and this will run only when there is error in the results. That means if interfaces doesn't have the desired state. So let's run this playbook. This fetches the states and converts to structured data. Now it validates the structured data. A couple of failures are there. And since drift has been detected, it goes and configures the interface in upstate. So this has been done. You can see change equals to one. So one task has changed. Now, if I run this again, there won't be any change since all the interfaces are in upstate. That is to say that the playbook is idempotent here. And if you don't want to fetch the execute the command and fetch the response at runtime, you can always pass a text value to the CLI pass task. So as you see, after it fetches, both the interfaces are in upstate. The loopback one admin is up, as well as the loopback zero admin is up. And since there is no deviation, all the remaining tasks are being skipped here. So we have done the demo. We'll quickly talk about the input data validation. So there are quite a couple of use cases that requires host wires and group wires to be defined as source of the truth. So it can be defined in YAML format. And when you pass these variables through a Jinja2 template to render the final output that needs to be pushed onto the device, you need to verify that the key URL pairs adhere to a particular schema. That is where validate module can come handy. So you can provide host wires as input to your validate module as a data key. Then a couple of criteria can be mentioned to ensure that the input variables matches with the desired schema. So we'll just quickly run a playbook that demonstrates this. So this is what I showed just now. The host wire here is basically the variables that are stored for the NXOS host that I'm running against. It has two variables now, BGP underscore AS, the value is 0, and host name is NXOS01, just for sake of demo. And the criteria that is used for this is is a minimum property. It has minimum property once. Then this defines a hierarchical data structure, and inside properties, I am given a condition that the value of BGP hash should be a number. The minimum value should be 1, and maximum value should be 65535. So this is a format that is being defined by the JSON schema, and it by default uses the draft 7 format. And this is a criteria that is being provided as input to the task here, BGP input. Now, if you run this task, now it should fail because BGP AS value is 0, whereas the expected value is shown as 1. Just quickly see that. Yeah. So as you can see, BGP AS expected is 1, but what is found is 0. So this module is pretty handy while validating input data as well. So we'll talk about the developer nodes. The parser, the CLI parser, and the validate modules are implemented in plugin-based architecture. So it basically loads the sub plugins from your collection. So if you have your own custom parser, you can keep that in plugins slash sub underscore plugins slash CLI parsers directory. And in that plugin, you have to implement a CLI parser class. And in that, you have to define the parser function. So when that is implemented, you can use this custom parser in your playbook like this. So the parser name will be the my organization, that is the namespace of your collection, then the name of your collection, and the custom parser, so name of the Python file that you decide to provide in this directory. And similarly for validate sub plugin, you have to place that under plugins slash sub underscore plugin slash validate directory, and you have to implement the validate class and the validate method within that class. And once you have that, you can provide it as input to the validate module in the engine key. So that's all. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, I will be around in the chat.